Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With much trepidation, yielding to pressure to avail ourselves of more superstitious devices than a Major League Baseball relief pitcher, cautiously, hopefully, the door opens ever so minutely, emitting a sliver of light. May we see professional football in 2020.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers! Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It is July 26, 2020. This is Tom coming to you from Sawdust Studios in the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost.
What's that? Is that a sponsor?
Not yet. I just finished 12 hours of Zoom meetings with my board of directors over this weekend, so that's why we're recording late, which I'm allowed to avail myself now at 5 o'clock of Tall Frosty IPA.
That's true.
And I raise a toast to the completion of this gauntlet. And I also want to raise a toast to my esteemed colleague, Stacy, who had her hand on the controls all weekend of this meeting. She listens to the Steelers Outpost podcast from time to time. She has some paradoxical loyalties. I think her dad has season tickets to the Ravens, but she is also a Steelers fan. So
I'm just going to look at that as scouting related. Season tickets, yeah, for scouting purposes to feed information back to the Steelers organization. And I think we can all be confident that that's what the situation is.
My bet is you're right about that, by the way. Her loyalties really probably are with the black and gold.
You feel good about that bet?
I feel it's a solid bet. I just don't know how to bet it.
If you feel it's a solid bet, you didn't even have to say that I don't know how to bet it, because I was going to give you the answer already. And I think everybody listening knows the answer. It's Bet Online, baby. There's no shortage of action going on with our partners at betonline.ag, because the sports world is quickly making its way back. Nay, sports are back. Thank sweet infant baby Jesus. Swaddling golden fleece diapers, as Will Ferrell once said in Talladega Nights. But sports are back. We already got baseball, hockey, basketball, and as of late this week, football is making its return, and Bet Online has the best odds and the best lines for the upcoming games and matches. And if you need more, Bet Online has simulated NFL action that you can get into if you just can't wait to get your finger on the trigger button. When the actual NFL season starts, you can play the simulated games. Also, they have NBA and UFC simulated games. They happen live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, cha-ching, your online wagering experts.
So the vision of the NFL's future is clearing like the cannonade smoke from a Civil War battlefield. My earlier allusion was to the higher likelihood that we're actually going to see a season, and the NFL and the players have agreed to some terms.
So why do you say higher likelihood and not 100%? Because they just agreed that they're going to play. Are you just implying that who knows what happens when they start playing? Or does this deal not mean that they're officially playing?
They say they're playing today, but couldn't you see a scenario where COVID hits and it goes like wildfire through a team?
Right.
I mean, this all
if somebody dies, which sounds morbid and weird, but it's like, well, yeah, if somebody died, that'd be pretty tough. So, yeah, there could definitely be a disaster that strikes further. Obviously, now we know nothing is out of the question these days, but the NFLPA and the NFL reached their second deal of the year, it looks like. Amazing. This is historic, right? And they are planning to play games.
Yeah, it looks like everybody wanted to make this happen. There were a couple of, I'll just go through a couple of the points. Obviously, everybody's heard by now that the preseason's been canceled. Each team is required to test players and staff at least twice before allowing them to enter the facilities, which probably pushes training camps back to early August, where we're there now. Every player is going to be tested every day for 2 weeks there in camp. If the rate of positive tests is below 5%, tests will be provided every other day. So that sort of points to my point. What happens if it's well above 5% and actually, you know, this stuff sits undetected? It could infect 10 guys before you know it. That was my point. It goes back to earlier conversations we had. Like, what does a team do when the starting offensive line can't play?
Yeah, the whole room or whatever. So that what's that, four people? If they're doing 80-man rosters, if you get four people or more who have it, then they're not shutting down. They're just continuing daily testing instead of going to every other day, correct?
First of all, let me congratulate you on that quick math.
Oh, I have a calculator. I try to play it off like it was chill. But you know what? In my defense, and everybody just believe me here, afterwards I was like, oh, we could have done 10% and just cut that in half. But this is live television. A lot of you don't know that. This gets broadcast live in Bangladesh. You guys hear it later on a podcast situation. So I went with the calculator. But four people, I'd like to go to Bet Online right now and make a wager that there's definitely at least one team that's going down, because it seems like all the reports from the college teams, granted they have a ton more players, you know, they could have like 100 guys out there in training camp. Everyone's got like, oh, 6 to 12 people have tested positive. So maybe those reduced numbers will keep it smaller. But has there been any news on how quickly they get those results back? Are these day of results? Are they getting like expedited, or is that even possible?
Do not know, but with the NFL's $15 billion in revenue, I'm sure they can get those things overnight.
I would think so, yeah. Do you think that there is a moral conundrum there where there's an independent company. I don't remember the name of them, but they're the ones who are going to be administering the test. They won the bid to get the NFL's exclusive contract. So I guess they're a private company, so in that way it's like, I don't know how that complicates it, but is there a moral conundrum here in where the NFL teams are getting priority over the general public for getting quicker testing?
Stop with the communist drivel. The man who has the money gets the tests.
It's like if they're not giving the tests out on that day, I don't know, they got people working there, maybe make a couple more jobs for these saliva examiners. I don't know. It's just, but that's a legitimate question. I mean, it's something to like to monitor going forward. Obviously, we don't care. We just want to see football, and we're bad people. But who cares? You know, the Steelers are going to be out there.
I don't know. You know, it's the way our system works. Is it morally repugnant to some people? Will the NFL? You know, with it does give hefty amounts of money to charity, and
you know what I don't know if
that doesn't excuse it. But
people who don't want to see football, so there you go.
So there,
and if you don't want to see football, you're borderline treasonous. So okay, let's keep moving through here. So we're testing the players first 2 weeks every single day. If they get less than four guys positive, then they will move to every other day testing. If they got four or more guys, they're going to continue testing every single day.
Correct.
What financial impact is this all going to have on the NFL this year?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We did a tad bit of research before coming here. So 75% of the NFL's revenue comes from national broadcast rights, sponsorships, and merchandise sales. This means that, you know, the NFL could be losing between $2 billion and $4 billion, some stories say. Forbes, who, you know, I go to Forbes, their business magazine.
Sure.
They think it could be as high as $5.5 billion. And that is the money that comes from tickets, luxury suites, food, parking passes, probably a lot from parking passes. So the question is, who's going to take the hit? And we talked about this over the last couple of weeks. So you know that the CBA calls for the players to get 48% of revenue.
Right.
So that pool is just less. It's not like the players have to spend, but how, this goes back to my question. I'm still foggy about how this is going to work because there are players with guaranteed contracts who need to get paid according to the contract. But let me go through a couple of the numbers here. The salary cap for this year is $200 million, and they decided to keep it there. Next year, it's going to $175 million.
That's bad.
But they still don't know. That's just sort of setting a marker out there because they do not know how much the shortfall is going to be.
Yeah, is that just predictive? Is that $175 million set in stone, or is that like, hey, we're predicting this is what it's going to look like?
So what I read is that any shortfalls in revenue will be made up by reducing the salary cap through the 2023 season. So I think that 175 is a hard number because they can make adjustments in 2022 and 2023. I think they need to know that number just to start planning today.
Right.
So it may be better, it may be worse. If it's worse, then 22 and 23 are going to look even worse than $175 million. It's going to be really interesting. You know, the way the owners wanted to handle this was to take 35% of the players' salaries and put them into an escrow. And depending how the revenues went, the players would either get some or all of that money or lose all of that money because they can't predict yet how bad the damage is going to be. I mean, the NFL is looking for other ways to make money. And one of the ideas that I read about is tarp the seats in the stadium and put a sponsor's logo on it, since we're going to have some games with no fans at all. So who's it going to really hurt? The players wanted to spread out the losses over 10 years. Finally, as I said, they're going to agree to do this over 3 years. They're going to absorb all these losses.
So I think what people want to know,
well, they want to know that the free agents and generations of future college players are going to get hurt. Because the veterans have their guarantees.
I think what I was going to lead into is, sure, college players are going to get hurt by this, younger guys who don't have their money, but you know who's really going to get hurt by this? And let's just say it, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I don't know if I can see any other angle on this besides they're screwed beyond belief. If it's going down to $175 million, they'd be $15 million over that 2021 cap right now, and that's without Juju signed, with Watt playing on his option, Hayward scheduled to reach free agency, Hilton not signed. I don't know what DeCastro's situation is like, but I don't think it's ideal. I mean, these are you can make the argument that every team's going to be in the same boat. You know, there are other teams with great players, and maybe Mahomes stretching that cap hit out will help the Chiefs, and Lamar Jackson still being on a rookie deal will help the Ravens. But do you think that old saying of, like, the salary cap isn't real, you can always find a way to move money around so that you can keep your team intact, do you think the Steelers will be able to do something like that? Do you think the Steelers are going to be screwed with a massive exodus of players as a as an unfortunate byproduct of having a loaded roster? And of course, you know, from my standpoint, if that happens, what a tragedy. We waited 10 years for a defense. It finally comes together. You lose the quarterback. Now you got the quarterback. On paper, there's reason to believe this could be the most balanced, best Steelers team since the Super Bowl years, which is weird to say because we saw the Killer Bees. But of course, that defense for the Killer Bees, it wasn't bad. It was horrific. It was terrible. Moments of competency, but overall they were leaving Gronkowski uncovered for touchdowns routinely, right? And when I mean uncovered, I mean not lining cornerbacks on him or any players. I will never forget that moment. But okay, so I guess that's my question. And maybe is it too early to tell? But do you think the Steelers are screwed? Do you think they can move around money, or obviously like a wait and see? That's a lot of guys to get signed.
It's a lot of questions.
Too many
first
questions.
Thing is, yeah, they can Sorry. They can still make a lot of moves. The problem is now they have to find $250 million, right? I mean, that is a big number. And they're going to lose guys. I mean, that's the problem with a well-built team. There are a lot of stars on the team. And I think there's going to be a redistribution of wealth, and I don't mean financial wealth, I mean talent wealth, throughout the NFL now. Because I disagree with you. I think a lot of teams are going to get squeezed by this thing. And unless you're, you know, a team with a rookie deal quarterback and, you know, or you're total rebuild like the, well, Browns are sort of past it now, but Miami, Those kind of teams are going to be able to pick up some of the stars that are going to be lost by the Steelers.
Yeah, maybe
and
they could get good. Maybe the Miami or the New York Jets or something. Those teams could get good in a hurry when Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and Juju Smith Schuster go playing for them. That's disappointing because you're right. I mean, it's a byproduct of having a great team, but not to this level where the salary, like they've taken years to plan out how to carefully fit all these guys on the roster, but then to get the salary cap slashed because of a pandemic. I mean, that's a tragedy. So I guess the positive spin is this year, the adrenaline addiction will be borderline hazardous for us Steelers fan because chips are in the middle. How do we trade for Odell? What do we got to do?
Well, you can do it. You're going to have to give up a few players. I'm looking at the rankings of teams according to salary cap and the excesses. You know who's right around us? You know, obviously the Chiefs just signed that blockbuster deal. Uh-huh. But teams that we care about, the Ravens have a larger overage over the cap space than we do. We're $16.5 million. They're a little over $17 million. The Patriots aren't far behind with $15 million. So I know it's not in our, you know, division,
how?
But we're going to play
that's
them.
That's so crazy. Hmm? That's so surprising to me. I mean, you're looking at the numbers. I'm like, who the hell are the Patriots even paying? They don't have anybody on the books. Cam Newton's not making anything. Is this like former contracts? I mean, I guess Stephon Gilmore gets paid a lot. That's just surprising to me. But you bring up a good point. I mean, even look at the Browns. Like, Baker's contract's going to come up soon, and then that's an insanely expensive roster. You got Odell, Landry, all these free agents they signed. They just signed the helmet, the skull crusher, to a long-term deal as well. It would really affect a lot of teams. But, damn, the Steelers are really up against it.
You're going to be surprised to learn that the Browns still have the most cap space in the NFL, $12.5 million, double the next team, which they now list as the Washington football team.
By the way, side note, everyone's making fun of them for that placeholder name. I kind of like it. It's kind of a baller move. Yeah, we're the Washington football team. You know that they're doing numbers on the helmets for the Washington football team now, like Alabama style, like college style. It's pretty cool.
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, I like it. They kept the colors, though, which is good. They got to keep the colors. Those are kind of legendary. No other team I can really think of in any sport. Maybe the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They're close, but it's a little gross. The burgundy and yellow, pretty regal. Like the numbers on the helmet. I would just keep them as the Washington football team, although I think you and I both know that they'll probably name it something more offensive than what they did before.
No comment. The team with the third most available salary cap are the Bengals. The good news for us is they just don't know how to hire. Draft.
Well, they know how to draft. They know how to draft. They just don't know how to finish. We'll see.
So, to your point, is there going to be an exodus of talent? It's hard to see that it won't, and you're going to have to pick and choose. And I sort of wonder if Cam, you know, might be a casualty because of his age. I mean, he's. It seems like he's at the height of his sine wave as far as productivity goes.
Yeah.
But is he going to hit? You know, people are going to read this, and are guys like that apt to go off a cliff at some point because he's 31?
He's 31. That would be insane to lose him because he's still going to be great for a couple more years. But then, yeah, it's going to end. He's on the back nine for sure, but he's also at his peak. So I guess those are sort of conflicting statements that way, but all pro the past 2 years, and he deserves it. You know, that all pro is such a better indicator of a player's performance rather than a Pro Bowl, which is borderline popularity contest. But wow, to think you could lose that guy, I don't know. Could you lose? I'd rather, damn, what would you do? Because I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But that is the news. Like, hey, we've learned that the salary cap is going to get drastically reduced. You're going to see some big names go. I would be down to put a bet on BetAG right now that Juju's gone for sure. We've already been thinking that. And I think if Deontay plays as well as people think he will, they're going to have no problem letting him go, let alone having Claypool and Washington, the forgotten man. This isn't Marcus Wheaton or whatever. This is a guy, I loved Marcus Wheaton, but this is a guy who could be really good as well. So Juju will be an easy one to let go, and TJ's not going anywhere for sure. Bud's going to be gone for sure, right? That's all done now. And then what do you do with Cam? I don't know. You sign Ben for 5 more years. That's what you do.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems with our cap, right? So the question is, can you eke your way through with a one-year contract for Cam? But the problem is the full $60 million that he'll be paid or whatever. I mean, what will he get in year one? But you can't amortize it. He, like I was arguing before, a five-year contract would be better. Mm. Give him his money up front and spread that out over half a decade.
Right.
So the Steelers, interestingly, were projected to produce $156 million based on totals from, like I was saying, ticket sales, concessions, et cetera. They're ranked first in the conference. The Ravens are behind us with $150 million. The Browns get $113 million, and the Bengals get $99 million from their ticket and concessions. So that's what we're competing with. But the Steelers' revenue from tickets...
You sell Skyline Chili, by the way. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but let's just state the obvious here.
Well, I think the Steelers are right at the median in terms of ticket and concession sales, so they're going to be hurt in proportion to every other team.
Sure. Yeah, we've talked about that before. It is sad that... shouldn't the Steelers be like the best attended games in the league? I mean, what a football city! But who knows if maybe it's just been priced out for other people, and you just get so spoiled by winning. Like I still see people on Twitter saying Bell and Brown never won anything. We won like 70% of their games when those guys were on the team. And by the way, I know people don't like Bell and Brown. Do not blame you at all. They left in really crappy fashion, to put it lightly, but. To think that Bell and Brown and the offense were the reasons that the Steelers didn't win a Super Bowl during that time period is hilarious. But what I'm trying to say is, who knows? Like, if that's the expectation, like, if you don't win a Super Bowl, you suck. I don't know if that's why people don't go to games as much as they should in Pittsburgh. And that's why you're saying they probably middle of the league when you'd expect they'd be right towards the top, especially with how loyal the fan base is and how active they are going to away games, how active they are on Twitter, how knowledgeable they are about football. It really is a big deal. But I guess going to the games is a different thing. And then, of course, now, you know, they probably won't be allowed to go to the games. But I always find that a weird statistic when you hear that they're in the middle of the pack.
Well, more to follow because I'm still a little cloudy on how they handle people. You know, if you've got a contract paying you $3.5 million a year, you have a contract. They've got to pay that, so that's got to come out of some other player's pocket. And like I was saying before, that's going to be free agents, that's going to be cutting some stars, and that's going to be out of players coming out of college.
Well,
hey, do you know? Speaking of attendance, the Jets and the Giants are the first teams to say they're going to play without fans. I think they're following sort of their state mandates.
Right, and it's sort of understandable. They're in New York. New York was one of the biggest disaster cities as far as the COVID outbreak, one of the major two or three cities, and now they're one of the better cities in the country, if I'm not mistaken, because of that policy to just clamp down on it. And I am just wondering how that's going to affect the Steelers because, of course, the Steelers are in the Giants Stadium, week one, Monday night. My initial reaction, besides just being bummed, you know, what a great atmosphere that would have been. But at the same time, you know that the whole country's watching you play on TV. I don't know if they're going to do the digital fans or pumping the noise. I'd be willing to give it a shot. But I sort of think it's going to be an advantage for the Steelers because of two reasons. One main reason, which is Ben. Ben has admitted over the years, especially in that first game, that he gets jitters. And some healthy nerves, and I think that it is visibly noticeable with him, not just because he said it, but you saw him against the Patriots last year, sure, with a bum elbow at the time, so that's a little different. And by the way, I said this earlier in the offseason, if you go back and watch that Patriots game that they got blown out in the first week, it's not as bad as you remember. Like, they were moving the ball a little bit. They just missed some fourth downs, and the defense got scored on three straight times, and then the game was basically out of hand. But I digress. The year before, he threw like three picks against Cleveland in the rain, trying to force the ball to AB, and he just looks jittery, and he says he doesn't get comfortable till he takes his first big hit. And he realizes, oh, okay, I'm okay. I can take these hits. Sort of knocks the shock out of him. He gets into it. I've noticed he's also a guy who needs to knock the saran wrap off with big passes. He's not the guy that you can get into a rhythm by dinking and dunking. He needs to hit those intermediate or deep passes to get in a rhythm, and sometimes it just doesn't come. And he'll be extra nervous this year, I'm sure, because he hasn't played in an NFL football game in such a long time. So obviously, this goes with the caveat that once he gets comfortable, no demon in hell can stop this man from throwing touchdowns. But I wonder if not having fans there will lower the pressure and he'll just be playing like it's backyard football. I know this is a little bit of a bar, you know, bar stool type of conversation here, but I think that that's a legitimate wonder for Ben, and that could be a big advantage for him.
So I think Ben, there's a potential for him to have an explosive first game. It's sort of like when I play golf every 7 years. I have a great first outing, and it's downhill from there. But here's the question. Yeah, I think maybe not having fans, that's interesting. Maybe it will be a little less pressure. Can I just ask you? Well, yeah. I'm just going to state my opinion. I can see the benefit of having the stadium noise, but I don't like it. I think it's just, I don't want one more thing in my life that's fake that you can't depend on. You know, you've got fake news, you've got fake videos, you can't tell what's real. I'm not really excited about that, although I can understand it, that why people would want to just hype the excitement with noise. So what do you think, you know, when we're listening to a game normally, really they do have the crowd noise, but you're sort of overridden by the commentators.
Well, Holden Caulfield, I actually have an opinion that we know would not bear fruits, which is they need to pump up the volume on the player mics, and we get to hear the real crap talk that would be happening.
XFL.
Right? But that's not going to happen. So I have heard from a couple friends who have seen, like, some soccer games. Well, they were friends until they said they saw the soccer games. And they heard the fake noise, and they're like, it's kind of weird when you first see it, but it just settles into the background and you dig it like anything else. I could go either way. I guess I would need to see it. It reminds me sort of the rainbow puck they did in the NFL. I don't know if that was 80s or 90s, but it was on Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey, which is my favorite hockey video game, so that's where I was aware of it. But I know that people hated that. You thought it would help because it's hard for a non-experienced hockey viewer to see the puck, so they're like, we'll make it rainbow. People said, we hate that, take it away. So I would just need to see what it's like. And I guess I was thinking just a little bit deeper about this thing with Ben having an advantage with fans or no fans. And there, you hear a lot of NBA commenters talking about that concept when the NBA decided to play in the bubble. They said some guys are actually practice all-stars, and for whatever reason, they can't really get it together in the game. And maybe they, you know, they score 8 points a game, but in practice, they're a 15-point guy. And then they said some guys don't play that great in practice, but they feed off of the energy in the crowd. And then there's another group of guys who always play well. You know, they're just prepared, they're beasts. I'm sure the level of preparation that Rodgers and Brady and those, you know, the annoying list, those guys are going to play well no matter what. We have said over the years, I mean, this is part of what makes Ben such a fun player to watch. He's, I don't want to say he's like an emotional player, but it's the thing where, like, when he gets hot, it's legitimately top level of quarterback play that you could ever see. I mean, we've seen him do things, especially in the past 4 years, against historic defenses in Jacksonville and in Denver and Seattle, not just have big games, but have monstrous, like, eruptions to dominate the best defenses we've seen in the year. So he can get so hot. And then, you know, he'll throw 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks, and then he'll play the Michael Vick Jets and we'll lose the game, and he won't throw for any yards. So I think Ben is one of those guys. I'm sure he plays great in practice, but he does feed off of the energy of the crowd. But also, I think in maybe the first games of the season, it makes him a little bit, you know, nervous. And I wonder if that just comes from the fact that it doesn't seem like he's a big preparation guy. And of course, he prepares and studies, but some of these NFL quarterbacks, they're sick in the head, you know, with the amount of preparation that they do for other teams. So that's why I think that could be a legitimate case for him. By the way, but speaking of preparation, I don't know if you saw the videos of him doing the charity work this week. He legitimately looks thinner than he has maybe in 10 years. So the preparation this offseason has been nice.
Good to hear. Let's do this. Let's you and I place a wager, friendly wager. We can do it on Bet Online, about how many yards in the air Ben's first pass will go. Pick your number before we say it out loud. We'll just both blurted out at the same time.
both blurted out at the same time.
So nobody's like playing off the other guy's number.
Okay, we'll say 3, 2, 1, and then we'll say the number as the zero.
Okay.
Right?
Three, two, one.
-1.
20.
I think they're going to do a screen. I think they're going to get cute.
All right, I'm recording that. +20 for Tom and -1 for Nicholas. And we will record this on the Calandre and report back to you after the first game.
Well,
to
that's
see who
the
won
big
the bet.
Story. That's the big story about this season. You have to assume that the defense is going to pick up where it left off. Maybe not at the beginning of the year because they usually are poopy at the beginning of the year. But they should have a little bit of an advantage because none of the offenses in the NFL are getting the proper preparation this year because of COVID. So defenses might be at an advantage in the beginning of the year. So that bodes well for the Steelers. Of course, things can change. We know that. But on paper, that defense should be able to – actually, they should be able to be better than they were last year if they can stay healthy because you get another year with Minka. Now you know you have him. Devin Bush is in his next year. You have so much continuity. So let's assume that's the constant. On offense, any person who really watches the Steelers in depth knows that it's actually a very talented squad. The line is good, solid, not as dominant as it once was, but very good. They have a little bit of depth. The running backs, it's a little questionable, but James Conner is a very good back if he can stay healthy. Excited about McFarland. Other than that, I have some worries about that running back core. The receivers are the big thing that Steelers fans know. Like, hey, this receiver core is exciting. And we've seen a lot of good receivers in Pittsburgh. The question is Ben going to be able to gel with an entirely new receiving core? He's played with guys before, but Juju, Deontay, Washington, Claypool, and Eric Ebron. He's played with Vance before, but that's a huge change. And he's a rhythm guy. When he gets a good rhythm with a player, him and Aaron Rodgers have that kind of quality of being able to throw back shoulders to certain guys that they're comfortable with where it's kind of unbeatable football. But that's a lot to get used to, especially in a season where the offseason has been truncated. So that's the big question. How quickly can he adjust to them, and what will happen that way? So a lot of interesting things, and I do think that the fans, maybe it'll help not having the fans for that first game in New York.
Well, speaking of big stories, and I thought you were setting me up for this next one when you mentioned Minka Fitzpatrick. How about this blockbuster trade? New York Jets' Jamal Adams to the Seattle Seahawks. They spent some capital on that.
Yeah. They did. So Seattle traded an absolute king's ransom, borderline quarterback type of trade, to get Jamal Adams, who many consider to be the best strong safety in the league. You know, it's basically this group of Minka as a free safety, but Derwin James and Jamal Adams, those are the freaks right now at safety. And there's plenty of other good guys, but Jamal Adams is kind of another level. But Seattle trades a first and a third in this coming draft, along with a first the next year. So two first-round picks and a third, and they're starting safety Bradley McDougal, who's a very solid starting safety. So from the Jets' standpoint, this is an absolute home run. Jamal Adams was going to complain his way out of the New York Jets organization one way or another. They just dropped a big story in one of the New York newspapers that, what's that guy's name, Mehta, that reporter. Jets beat guy, dropped this story about Jamal Adams spilling the tea on Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, Adam Gase, the coach, and it was just the writing's on the wall. Unfortunately, we've all seen how that can end up in Pittsburgh. And like I said before, some people thought the Antonio Brown stuff would start a trend of players doing this. And I said, I think more people will do it, but it's still going to take a special, loud kind of guy who's confident and extremely good to be able to have that kind of leverage. And Jamal Adams was making it clear that that was going to happen. Whereas, so the Steelers get a 3 and a 5 for a player who's legitimately worth 2 first-round picks at least in Antonio Brown. The Jets get 2 firsts, a third, and they still have a starting safety. So this is amazing because the Jets have tremendous – they have holes everywhere. They literally don't have a single thing to hang their hat on. And now they can really begin to put that together, although they'll probably screw it up. So some people are trashing the Seahawks for this move because they traded so much to get Jamal Adams, but I kind of love it. I have said on this podcast repeatedly, I like when teams push their chips into the middle of the table when it is clear that they have an opportunity. Russell Wilson right now is God mode in quarterback terms. This is the second best quarterback in the league. After Patrick Mahomes, there is no better one-man band than Russell Wilson. He's accurate deep, short, intermediate, one of the best scramblers, buys time, great leader, has seen every single kind of defense. He's tough. He's the man right now. They have him in his prime, similar to what Ben was doing a couple years ago for the Steelers, and maybe even at an extra level to that. They have phenomenal receivers around him, DK Metcalf and Lockett, and a bunch of good tight ends. Their defense is just average. If that, at best, they're average. We know what happened to the Steelers when they had a phenomenal offense and an average defense. It took too long for the defense to get good. It takes a long time to draft the players and to get them the experience to make a good defense. All right? But the Patriots got to the Super Bowl trading for a bunch of defensive players. The Jaguars almost got to one trading for a couple of defensive players. The Rams did. They traded for some guys, brought them in. And I think that the Seahawks adding Jamal Adams, who's not just a talented guy, this is one of the best players in the league, they have now taken their defense from good to very interesting. I'm not going to say they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league, but you got Bobby Wagner, a middle linebacker, the best middle linebacker, some other decent linebackers, and you got Adams and Quandre Diggs at safety. Quandre Diggs is a Pro Bowl safety. If they can keep Jadeveon Clowney on the front line, and bear with me, guys, I know this is a lot of Seahawks talk. We'll spin it back to the Steelers in a second here. But if they can keep Clowney, now they have enough to rock and roll. And yes, they gave up an absolute king's ransom to do so, but listen, Russ isn't going to be at this level forever. You're not going to be able to keep all those receivers forever. So I kind of like it. And the way that I relate it back to the Steelers is I really wish the Steelers had found a way to do this during the Killer Bees era. And maybe there wasn't an opportunity that presented itself. I can't think of a guy who was available, at the time. And it's easier said than done. And it is a bit weird because you want the Steelers to have their first round picks when you can, because they generally do very well with them. But now we've seen. Look what just happened. They get Minkah Fitzpatrick when you're willing to trade a first-round pick. And granted, that also relates to this Jamal Adams story, because now the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, oh my goodness, this is a steal is an understatement. Kevin Colbert is an absolute unbelievable GM. I mean, he got AB out of there. He got Martavis out of there for everything. We got Deontay Johnson out of these things. I mean, he's constantly making things happen. Underrated guy in the national media. But I guess that's just what I'm trying to say is I know that it's not economically an awesome trade if you put it in a vacuum, but I don't play by those rules. I don't play by those rules. I have testosterone. I try to win Super Bowls. You know what I do? I sell tickets. Why? Because I try to win Super Bowls. And that's what Seattle just did. They have their new Cam Chancellor. He's got such an attitude. He's perfect for their team. Love what they did there. The Steelers obviously made an easy trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick in retrospect. Like, what the availability and the price was incredible. So they're not one-to-one. But I just think it's a good example to talk about how people run teams. And granted, the Seahawks have made a lot of dumb trades in the past. So who knows what their track record is with that. But this guy's pretty damn good.
Well, we'll go back to the original conversation we had at the beginning of this podcast and the corner that Seattle has painted itself in. I mean, Adams has a year left on his contract, and then they have to talk about real money. And the problem is they're $4 million over the cap before we account whatever deal he got.
Right.
So, and they're not going to, you know.
Good point. Great point.
So that's gonna really put them in a bind next year. So it'll be interesting to see. They're going to be shedding players too. And as you pointed out, they can ill afford to shed a lot of defensive players.
So I guess Clowney's not sticking around in that case. And Jamal Adams is going to want to be the highest paid safety in the league. And that's what you're going to have to pay him. But at the same time, he's amazing and he's perfect for what they do. I mean, Pete Carroll in this Seahawks era, they've always had an amazing safety. You know, they had two Hall of Fame caliber safeties on one team. It was insane. And so, that being said, I don't mind making him the highest paid safety in the league. And so, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make, like, on paper, if you want it to all make sense that way, whatever. I I would be comfortable sleeping a night with that. It's not the same as if the Bengals traded for him or somebody who's not in a Super Bowl contention. I like when people push their chips in the middle, figure out what to do later. You know, if you're the Seahawks and you have a quarterback like Wilson, you can let receivers go. That's big money that you can let go and find elsewhere. Like, they'll be able to make it happen. So I like what they did because I just feel like the Steelers organization really played with fire during the Killer Bees era, thinking that they could trot out the guys that they trotted out on defense, and they got what they deserved, and they wasted multiple chances at a Super Bowl because they weren't willing to just roll the dice.
Well, you can push as many chips as you want in there, and you can pay your safety as much as you want, but you've got to shave some money from somewhere.
Well, it's hard to shave some money from anywhere, really, but thanks to Manscaped, it's not difficult at all to shave some hair from down there. Because I'm talking about Manscaped precision tools for your family jewels. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. This is a mechanism that has been created by scientists. It's been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. Dare say, reduce. Eliminate, almost. I am a personal user of the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. And, yeah, reduce is too soft of a word. I've never experienced any type of related injury. And like I said earlier, I got testosterone. You need tools. What are you going to go do? You're going to build a house screwing all the nails in and screws in? You can't really screw a nail in. You're going to screw all the screws in with a screwdriver? No! Get a damn drill, son. They got a drill for you. And it's called the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. They got all kinds of stuff. They got oils and ointments and anti-chafing creams. Very useful. It's the kind of stuff that it sort of sounds like a luxury when you first hear it pitched, and then you use it and you realize your life has been changed, and it's not a luxury. It becomes a necessity. And not just because, oh, I've bought into this, I have to do it now. No, because you realize the quality of my daily life has been improved, and others in my life have thanked me for it. So get 20% off and free shipping if you use the code armchair at manscaped.com.
I had a leak in that first beer.
Oh, well, I got to take care of that.
Did you hear the news?
What news?
We picked up a tight end with a great name of Dax Raymond.
Dax Shepard.
Oh. Raymond?
Raymond. Oh, I thought we were talking about the Hollywood actor and the great podcast host, Dax Shepard. He's pretty big.
I've got to read more. Dax Raymond, 6'4", 245 out of Utah State. He was an undrafted free agent last year, caught on with the Bears for a time, got injured in preseason, waived, but ended up on the practice squad by the end of the season. So he is available, and the Steelers picked him up by waiving one Christian Scotland Williamson.
Yep, too bad to see him go. Too bad to see him go. Yeah. But I got to be honest, whenever they have the guy, like the rugby guy in camp, I'm legitimately just not a fan of that. And no offense to Christian Scott Williamson, but it's like, oh, you know that thing that's never worked before? Let's have a roster player doing that. Maybe this guy will work. Oh, yeah, maybe you'll work, Dad. You're big enough to play tight end. No, it's not going to happen. No offense. But now they got a guy from a team that legitimately had 11 tight ends on the roster at one point, I believe. Like, it's a running joke in the league. Why do the Bears think the path to the Super Bowl is simply through an overabundance of tight ends? So of course some guys are going to slide through the cracks. We got him through there. I don't know much about him. I know he's more pass catching rather than blocking, which seems like a theme for Steelers tight ends who've been brought in this year. But I think it's a good move that they were able to add some depth at a position of real fright, and if not depth, competition, because obviously the two guys in the top with Ebron and Vance, that's the starters right there. But Gentry, you know, if he wants to be the next Stork, if he wants to be the next Jesse James, the next Outlaw, by the way, get Jesse back. What the hell? Jesse, you haven't caught a pass in 2 years. Come back. If he wants to be the next Stork, he's going to need somebody to push him. So Dax Shepard, and if by Dax Shepard, I mean Dax Raymond, will push him. But maybe if he listens to Dax Shepard's podcast, then he'll push him in, you know, emotional ways.
Well, make sure you watch his 2018 highlight tape. The most unexciting video I have seen since maybe you were 12.
Interesting.
So I had a story here, which you have now told me is not a story, but it's a story of a maybe you people call it meta story about Antonio Brown retiring once again. We got a tweet out last Monday.
Yeah, he retired for about an hour or two, which is why I didn't tweet about it when he first retired. I think it was funny when anybody tweeted that he was retiring, because he's retired like 6 times since he's retired the first time. He's always retiring. He retires every couple months. But I do have to give a lot of people in the national media credit, because they were putting up some great memes that back up exactly what I just said. Like, okay, we get paid to report this stuff, so I'm going to say he's retiring again. He's not retiring. Basically, everybody's aware that this means nothing, because pretty much immediately after he retired on Twitter, said that he's accomplished everything that you can accomplish, he put up a post on Instagram of Roger Goodell and basically saying, free me, I've done nothing wrong, I've cooperated with you with every single way, like, let me play. So he retired, but he's back.
So I'm going to make a recommendation for the audience at home.
Please do.
You have to see Zach Banner reprising Flashdance. Check out his Twitter feed. It's ZBNFL, Zach Banner. He does the whole... I called you yesterday. I couldn't even talk. Tears were streaming from my eyes, and I was just guffawing at this thing. It was the perfect song to select for a guy of his size and charisma. Check it out.
That is a man with personality. You also sometimes you think some of these linemen are insane athletes where they can jump out of pools. He can't do that based on some of the but the pirouettes. My goodness, that's a man with some balance.
The man can dance. Hey, visit our website at SteelersOutpost.com. Check us out on Instagram at SteelersOutpost. Hit us up on Twitter at SteelersOutpost, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.